This is the radio industry's very own radio station. 24/7 in radio.
And this is the point when everybody, with bated breath, looks forward to that moment when I dwell upon the grassroots and community end of that industry.
Online 24/7 and worldwide in radio.
Hello and welcome to Third Sector on In Radio. I'm Dom Chambers. Now, before I get going this week, I'd like to clarify something which has been fed back to me as I travel round the country visiting community media organisations. In calling this programme Third Sector on In Radio, that is in no way a reference to our perceived place in the audio broadcast landscape. The Third Sector is a reference to the charitable sector, as opposed to the public and private sectors. For instance, looking at licensed community radio here in the UK, you have to be a non-profit organisation or a constituted charity in order to own a licence. I mention this because a few people have said to me that they think Third Sector is unwittingly a derogatory term. Well, far from it. I think we should celebrate being a charitable sector and the fact that we so positively impact on participating individuals as well as audiences. And of course, the wonderful quality and range of work that we know goes on, which brings me neatly and nicely to the theme of this week's edition of the programme, as I look at two big bastions of the calendar in grassroots and community media. I'm talking about the annual Community Media Conference this year coming to Bristol, and we are in year two of the Community Radio Awards, which are happening on the same day as the conference. Joining me on the programme is Lucinda Guy, who is the chair of the Community Media Association, who each year put on the Community Media Conference. And in a moment, I'll be discussing this year's theme and what is actually happening. Some of those themes will be explored further with my second guest on the programme, and that's Roger Griffiths, who is the chair of Ujima Radio. Now, if you remember, last year at the inaugural Community Radio Awards, Ujima won gold in Station of the Year, and that's led directly to them hosting both this year's awards and conference. Naturally, Roger's excited about this, and he tells me what he's looking forward to about the day. And my final guest today is Martin Steers, who is the chair of the Community Radio Awards. And with the selection process more or less complete now, he tells me what he's looking forward to about the award evening itself, and how so many people are planning to come together in a celebration of some really tremendous work that our sector can be very proud of. And to get all this going, a few days ago, I made a telephone call. Joined on the line by Lucinda Guy, who is the chair of the Community Media Association. Lucinda, voices in a changing world. That is the theme of the conference. What's it all about?
Well, hello, Dom. Earlier in this year, Hannah Parry and I went on this, I don't know if you know about this Media Against Hate project that's happening all across Europe. And we were so inspired that weekend. That was when lots of words and ideas for this conference started to really come together for us. Obviously, this year, all kinds of media are talking about what media really means, how much things have changed. There seems to be a lot of public dialogue about should we go with traditional media or what about new media and social media. And, of course, for a lot of us, we're always saying, well, really, there's a third way, which is communities coming together to make, you know, very accountable, regulated media of their own, which is very, very different than people sort of spouting off online and things like that. So really trying to keep saying that and look at it together with lots of very talented people and think, how do we move forward in a world where we are concerned about hate speech, we're concerned about extremism of different types, and, you know, how do we all respond to that as community media?
Actually, I am aware of Media Against Hate because I went to interview them the day after your workshop with them.
So, right.
Which was a happy coincidence because that was shortly before the austerity march in London, which I attended as a journalist. It was an interesting way of spending an afternoon, 2 foot in front of Jeremy Corbyn and 110,000 people behind me.
Wow, yeah.
So lots of sentiments of that nature. Now, I was telling somebody just after that, I said, oh, I was with Media Against Hate this morning, and they went, well, who isn't against hate? So let's think about our current media landscape and what we actually mean by sort of hate-orientated media, and so therefore what are we doing in community media to combat that and offer a more positive platform, perhaps?
Yes, I mean, I think you're very right when Bateau, who isn't against hate, and actually the workshops are not just for people in community media. There were lots of different types of media represented there. The thing about the project is it's giving people clear strategies and ways forward, and sort of really thinking these questions through in really interesting ways. And there's a lot of resources on the Media Against Hate website that people in any kind of media can have a look at and that can help them, you know, respond to things and sort of identify what we mean by hate speech. So those are available for anybody.
Well, Media Against Hate are one of your guests, aren't they, at the Community Media Conference. Tell us what else is going on.
Well, there's a lot going on. And we've framed the day around three big discussions, starting off with one called Voices for Change. And that's, you know, really trying to get to grips with the heart of these issues. If we want a better world, how do we have a, you know, lots of different voices contributing to media, and also how we make responsible media that responds to the issues that are going on in the wider world and in our local communities. So an interesting discussion on that. Rob Watson's going to chair that. We've got Laurie Hallett coming on that one. We've got someone from Internews, a charity who I know you know as well, and someone from the Bristol Cable, which are a really important group in Bristol at the moment, doing some excellent investigative journalism there. Later that morning, we've got another discussion, which is about community ownership. So this is partly about how we make sure our own organisations are sustainable, financially viable, how they keep going. But look at some of the brilliant models that viability is built from community ownership and from as much involvement as possible. So sort of rejecting very traditional business models and finding ways forward that build the sustainability for people and economically altogether. You know, so there's that one coming up a bit. So in the afternoon we've got a range of workshops. Most of these are aimed at probably think people like station managers or project managers, but also a masterclass that's more aimed at the volunteers who come, because we get quite a lot of volunteers. So that's more about making content, which is run by Hindenburg. So there's lots of breakout rooms that people can learn skills or sort of look deeper into certain issues. And then at the end of the day, we've got another discussion, which is more about artistic responses, so beyond journalism or sideways from journalism, other ways that we can respond to the world and to issues. So this is not just arts generally, but arts that's responding to our political situation, really. So we've got a number of people talking about, really showcasing some projects. There'll be some stuff to look at and listen to in the afternoon, as well as a way of kind of celebrating some of the great stuff that's out there. It's quite nice to end by actually, you know, looking at some work and thinking about that work.
Well, as somebody, Lucinda, who's just travelled around the country visiting community media organisations up and down the land, which I've been doing for several years, I think I've visited over 50, you have hit the nail on the head with one of the key issues there, is that how are we sustaining our organisations and how are we able to not only sustain them, but grow. And so I'm just going to put in a little plug for Steve Buckley. You've got many excellent speakers on the day, but Steve, I've heard talk on many occasions, and at least three occasions this year, I think, and I've never walked away from one of Steve's contributions without having snuck a little note into a scrap bit of paper in my pocket and used it as a in funding narrative thereafter. Tell me why you've decided to bring it to Bristol this year, and obviously hosted by Ujima Radio.
That's right. Well, there's a number of things. One was that last year at the Community Radio Awards, Ujima came out as Station of the Year, which is great. And actually, when you go there, they've got that trophy proudly on display as you go in. Another thing is that the conference always moves around. It's always in different communities because we're trying to reach different groups around the country. Last year it was in Birmingham, so it's just about bringing it somewhere very different. We hadn't had a Southwest conference for some time. The other thing, which is a bit more of an experiment, is we wanted to try a conference in a community venue rather than a university one. And that doesn't mean we're turning our back on universities, because we'll continue to have a good relationship with lots of universities, and probably next year's is like to be back in a university. But broadening out a bit, because I think there are some people for whom those spaces don't feel very welcoming. They can feel quite institutional. So we wanted to try somewhere I suppose more, of a community venue that feels more grassroots and might just attract different kinds of people and have a different feel to it, just so there's a bit of variety with conference, really.
And we'll find out if that proves a popular move when we all gather at the station in Silver Street in Bristol on Saturday, 23rd of September. Full details, by the way, on the Community Media Association's website. And many thanks to Lucinda Guy for talking to Third Sector on In Radio. Now, I mentioned before that Ujima Radio are hosting this year's events, and I actually dropped in there a few weeks ago as part of my community radio tour. And I enjoyed a very full and extensive conversation with Ujima's chair, Roger Griffiths. And we pick up that conversation as we explore the theme of diversity. We, as a society, like to put high value on celebrating diversity. There is, alas, all too often a shortfall between that aspiration, that social aspiration of our times, and where prejudice can rear its ugly head. How do you see community broadcasting, such as your model here in Bristol, helping bridge that gap between the celebration of diversity and the prejudices that unfortunately are out there?
In two ways. The first thing to say is that, just to add the word, we do celebrate diversity. We're National Diversity Champions in 2015. So that is literally a given. However, we like to say is inclusion. It's about including people, making people feel included, and reaching out to excluded groups. And we're by no means as people, who we're not even reaching, but at least we're more than one step closer because of our programming, because of our excellent cast of community volunteers and broadcasters into finding out who those people are. The second reason why is breaking down barriers. Breaking down barriers of prejudice. I can think back to my days and having some really surreal conversations during the 80s, when I can assure listeners things were a lot tougher if you were, because people weren't, it was people went gay bashing and, used to beat up members of black minority ethnic. When we had skinheads running riots, had a lot of football violence, the city centres were scared. So we didn't have CCTV cameras. Things were a lot more violent. The police were a lot more violent, got picked up by them on many occasions and had incidents with them. When I think back to those times and dealing with some of those and coming face to face, literally, in skirmishes with skinheads, and then being the anomaly of, well, what music did they listen to? They listened to music from the Caribbean stroke Jamaica, which was like skinheads and the ska movement then that brought into the two-tone movement, which I was a proud member of as a root boy. When you got those anomalies and thinking, breaking things down, you had the emergence in sport and culture of people, playing for, nobody dares to mention, Samoa Farah's background. He's a proud Brit now. That wasn't the case many years ago when we had people like Daley Thompson, Tessa Samuelson breaking in, and Linford Christie. These pathways are in, and now it's acceptable that, black minority ethnic members from Somalia, from the West Indies, and from Africa, as well as also from Europe as well, are part of that. And that's what music, culture, arts can do through engagement, through breaking down barriers. And I believe it plays a firm tenet, and then it should be much more better supported than what it is now.
And community radio is a relatively new part of those positive trends since some of those appalling situations that you've cited from, say, the 1980s and 30 years ago. As community radio develops, as Ujima develops, as you've got some great community broadcasters in and around Bristol, but we're still maturing as an organisation. How can you see us develop to assist in those positive trends that you've outlined?
I think there has to be some recognition at a local and national government level of the role that community media plays. That's just not just, within radio, that's also within film and a lot of different ways of breaking down barriers of what we do. And I don't think that's fully recognised other than with a few bits of meagre resources. I think the ways to engage in either through private business or through direct funding is to support that, because the return on investment is massive for what we do. We have 120 volunteers. Our turnover is less than six figures, but it's hard work, as you well know, to keep and sustain that. And whether it's direct funding support or, more importantly, resource support, advice around organisations, we're currently looking for a bookkeeper ourselves. All these things things. It's not just around you know, a couple of guys and women just playing some good tunes in a studio. It's a lot of hard work that goes into sustaining the community broadcasting outbound, whether it's ourselves here or BCFM, yourselves in summer, or up in Kirklees in the north. There are so many organisations with this is the lifeblood of, and that needs to be better recognised than what it is.
How do we do that? Because at the moment, I mean, there are some key organisations around, the Community Media Association, we're going to talk more about in a second. But as a general observation, doing my tour around community stations, we do seem to be strong voices locally, but we're lacking a kind of cohesive push towards government and possibly other funders and other stakeholders. I mean, how do you think we could perhaps unite the strong local voices to one strong national voice?
Our local voice is already, I think we need to do less competition and more working with, as we do, because we've all got shows at BBC Bristol. But again, those links need to be strengthened. And instead of us having to go to them, there should be a dedicated worker from them that's sent by the, as part of their tax fee, to work with community media. It's not their enemies. It's their, they should see it as their talent pools. They should see it as their local news feeders to work and develop those organisations and seeing what it is we need. It's always the other way around where we have to go, we'll come up with the idea and then write it up and then try and get it resourced and funded. It should be a lot more about working closer in partnership. I think there's much as I'm a big fan of the BBC and we're working with them closely, I think that's an easy way of them reaching out to us, because if they're finding it tough with the funding cuts that they've got, try being in our shoes in community media. I can assure you, working many, many hours for zero income is a lot tougher.
One of the organisations that is well placed to help make that voice stronger is the Community Media Association. They indeed have an association with the Community Radio Awards, which last year were launched, and Ujima was the first station of the year, which is a fantastic and well-deserved accolade. And that has led, I think, directly to Ujima hosting the National Community Media Conference and, of course, the awards that will follow it. Are you excited about that?
I'm very excited about it. It's great. I felt a duty and obligation from winning it last year to be involved this year and bringing it to Bristol for the first time. So that was just been fantastic that we've managed to do that, and you know, gain the support of the whole of the UK into coming here. We're just helping behind the scenes as it is. Unfortunately, like I say, we're in are a bit of our own transition ourselves in moving, so as well as preparing for Black History Month. But to see these people coming from far and wide and to be hosting it this year is just been fantastic.
You're hosting, yourself, Roger, are going to be welcoming everybody along with the current chair of the CMA, who's Lucinda. Can you give us an idea about what you might say in that welcome?
I'm going to be saying about the championing community media and what it has done for many members of Ujima Radio, for our community. That's given us certainly links not only into Bristol, not only into the southwest and the region, but nationally and, from our point of view, internationally. With our programme Glocal, that goes out, we've got tentacles in Nigeria, in Jamaica, South Africa. When I've broadcast out into America through my travels in the deep south, those links are there simply because of the personalities that we've managed to bring, and seeing the talent come through. And like I say, we only scratch the surface, but we do what we can into not only making Bristol and Britain a better place, but giving people positive outcomes.
I can't think of a final way of ending our discussion for now, Roger. I'm very much looking forward to returning in a few weeks' time, and we'll catch up then at the Community Media Conference.
Excellent, thank you very much.
This is the radio industry's very own radio station. 24/7 in radio.
Really grateful to Roger there. Always a pleasure going to Ujima Radio. As things begin to wrap up on the Community Media Conference, attention will then start to shift onto the Community Radio Awards. Having hosted the inaugural awards last year at the University of Birmingham, I've kept in very close touch with how they have progressed into their second year. And as I talk to the chair of the Community Radio Awards, Martin Steers, I ask him how that process has gone.
It's gone really, really well, much better than last year in terms of just general organisations and the awards running. Still room to improve every year, and hopefully every year we'll tinker and change the awards slightly. We had more entries than last year, significantly more, and from more stations, which was, for me, the positive, more community radio stations entering the award representing the sector. We had, I think, double the number of judges, who, again, all of them, the feedback I've got, were completely blown away by the quality of the entries they've received from the sector. And the judges have come from commercial radio, community radio, the BBC, academics, and just wider sector type people. And again, yeah, they've all been blown away by the level of quality that has been represented through the awards.
Let's do a simple comparison then. How many community radio stations engaged in this process last year, which was the inaugural year for the Community Radio Awards, and how many have this year? And of course, bearing in mind that you have broadened it out slightly from just purely community radio licences.
We have actually, but what's really interesting is, and it's slightly disappointing, is we didn't get the uptake from that we were expecting, and we're going to, as part of the feedback process, work out why was it we didn't advertise it in the right way, or we didn't let people know enough, because we actually only got two non-community radio broadcasting stations enter the extra categories that we have. And in fact, we had a dedicated category aimed at non-Ofcom licensed CR stations, and we didn't actually have enough entries into that category for us to run the category. So it was really interesting that we didn't have enough internet stations, DAB, RSL stations enter. So maybe we just need to be better at getting that message out there, because I don't want to get rid of the category altogether. I want to look at how we actually move forward with that. In terms of the number of stations, I don't have the full numbers to hand, but from memory, I think it's something like 20% increase in the number of stations. I think last year we had around 50. This year, I think we're looking at around high 60, 70 number of stations. Still a long way to go in terms of how big the sector is in terms of number of licensed stations, but significant progress in the right direction as far as I'm concerned.
Remind us, Martin, what the value of the awards is, other than recognising some tremendous work that's going on out there. Is there a wider value to the awards?
To me, that's one of the biggest values, and it's about recognising inside the sector, giving yourself a pat on the back, volunteers being recognised for their work they're doing, which to me is incredibly valuable. But actually, it's also about those stations then getting recognition in their local area, whether it be the local council or the MP, acknowledging the award and going, this is fantastic. And we certainly saw this from last year's awards, you know, MPs sharing that they were proud of their community radio station, even being nominated or receiving a bronze, silver, gold. But also then stations going on to use that recognition in terms of grants, applications or applications for funding, or getting the good news out there about what their station is and what they do. So an opportunity to raise their profile in their local community and champion and celebrate the work they're doing. That's a massive value of the awards. The other value that I think the awards give, and an area that we can grow and develop, is on sharing best practice and sharing skills across the sector.
And one of the areas, to give an example of that, is the Summer Valley FM Sports Show won gold in last year's awards. And I believe that the recipient of that award was the leader of the show, Ian Knockholds. He wrote a guideline which you have shared for other stations to benefit.
Absolutely. I want us to be doing more of this sharing best practice. And indeed, he wrote us a guide on sports broadcasting within community radio and how to make more of it as a station and as a sector. And going forward, I'd like to hope that we can do more of those guides and any opportunity to share best practice. And one of the ways we do it, and we're looking to do this in a better way, is sharing the people that receive gold, sharing their entries so other people can see what other people are doing and where they can learn from that, particularly in some of the categories such as the innovation and community development type projects. Some of the work that some of the stations are doing is phenomenal. And a lot of the stations feel like, not that they're working in isolation, but that they don't necessarily know about it. One that comes to mind is a station that actually put forward their lottery that they run as a fundraising incentive. And they were like, oh, we're the only community radio station that do this. But actually, I think we had at least two stations enter a lottery program as a fundraising activity. So obviously, there's a lot of information and good skills and good projects and good activities in the sector, that things like the awards can help share that best practice and share the best ways of doing some of these things.
Well, there's very much two aspects of these awards. There is the participation, and then there's the judging and the criteria. And most of that work, I would say, has now taken place. The next thing to look forward to is, of course, the awards evening itself. And we're very nearly on them. How are plans going?
Going really well. The ticket sales are going phenomenally well. At the time of talking to you at this moment, we are in the process of about to sell out, which is great. We're looking at around 150 people coming to the awards, or 150 plus coming to the awards evening, up from over 100 last year. It's going to be a tight squeeze because the venue have cautioned us on that number, knowing that it's going to be a bit tight. But because we're not doing a formal sit-down type meal, hopefully we'll be all right with the numbers and with the space. My passion is about getting enough people to celebrate community radio and making sure that we have a great night. To me, as ever, though, the actual awards process, the awards happening themselves as an entity, is the most important thing. But I acknowledge that everyone wants to get together, meet new friends, meet old friends, do that networking, do that sharing of best practice in person, but also coming together to celebrate community radio.
And what are you most looking forward to about the evening?
I flippantly want to say the end so I can relax. To me, it's seeing people's faces when they realise they're receiving a bronze, a silver or a gold. People are so excited by it. The number of emails we've had from people going, can't wait to go, so excited, from all these people that are being nominated. I really want to stress that being nominated alone is a fantastic accolade that people should be proud of, regardless of whether they then go on to get silver, bronze or gold. Being nominated is something that people should be celebrating themselves and pushing out there that they've been nominated for whatever category. But no, announcing the golds and the silver and the bronzes, to me, is what's really exciting, and I can't wait for that to happen.
Well, nor can I. I'm very much looking forward to the evening as well. Martin, you came up with this idea a couple of years ago, and you've taken it. We had a successful evening last year. We've got the second year of the awards now, and the ceremony coming up in a few days' time. Overall, with this process, what have you learnt about community broadcasting in the UK?
That it is as good, if not as better, as any other form of broadcasting, and the community radio sector should hold its head up high and know that it's doing fantastic work in their community, for their community, and are producing fantastic programming and community projects. And that quite often community radio gets referred to as a third tier of the broadcast sector, as if that's some sort of lower value. But actually, all the judges have said they're blown away by the quality and how community radio really does hold itself up high against the commercial and the BBC, and is as good as, or even better, as those other broadcast sectors.
Martin Steers, many thanks for joining us.
Thank you, and look forward to seeing you on the night.
The Community Radio Awards and the Community Media Conference 2017, Voices in a Changing World, all takes place on the 23rd of September. To get your tickets and to find out more, go to the Community Media Association's website. That's commedia.org.uk. And you can also find out there about getting a combination ticket for both the conference and the awards. And whilst you're on that website, do check out my Community Radio Tour updates. There's a whole page dedicated to the stations that I have visited. If you'd like to follow up on anything in this edition of the programme or suggestions for future interviews and themes, do contact me on domchambers@summervalleyfm.co.uk. And if you see me at the awards and conference, do pop over and say hello. And I catch you back here very soon.